People of Note on Fine Music Radio is proudly brought to you each week at this time by Peter Turin Productions. You're listening to Fine Music Radio, and this is Rodney Trudgeon welcoming you to this week's edition of People of Note. And I'm excited to share my enthusiasm for the show Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat that has just returned to Cape Town after a hugely successful run at Monte Cassino in Johannesburg. And you might even have seen it when it played to sold-out houses in Cape Town a few months ago. And apparently it's even going back to Johannesburg, but it's got a lovely long run here through until the 29th of November. It's a Peter Turin and Lamta production, and it really is something quite extraordinary, and I recommend that you go and see it. And my guest is the man who plays Joseph, the lead man, and his name is Dylan Janse van Rensburg. Dylan, welcome, welcome.
Hello, and thank you very much for having me.
I thought, having seen you last night on stage, I thought you might be too exhausted to come in today because, gosh, it's an energetic show, isn't it?
No, it truly is one of the most energetic shows I've actually been in. I mean, it's full energy, full color, full lights, and it's nonstop. It's nonstop, go-go, smiles, big faces, especially being in such a small theater. Like, it's so intimate, so you have to give 100% all the time or else you can, like, see it. And So it's incredible to go on stage and be like, this is us, this is me, this is who we are. And as a cast, I think we hold each other well with our energy, and I think that's what shows off to the audience. I think
it's an incredible ensemble piece, actually. Oh, as you say, you are aware of the fact that everybody is doing their absolute best, but also enjoying each other and what the other people are doing.
Ah, indeed.
Is that true?
Yeah, no, it's so true. I must say, the cast as a whole, I think we enjoy this piece so much. I mean, being together and everything, we really feed on each other, which I have learned a lot, especially coming from Cape Town to Joburg and then to Cape Town again. One would think like, oh, everybody asked me, how do you not get like bored of the show and how do you not get tired? And I realize that we all doing what we love. So when we're on stage, we're all there and we are holding each other, we're backing each other, feeding off each other's energy, which is one of the most amazing things that I've ever seen a cast do, especially in this specific cast of Joseph. What we do is we know when someone's having a bad day, so we lift them up, or we give each other energy
when we
can feel it. It's such a small thing. We can sense it. So it's one thing that I find incredible at this cast is that we can do it. We can do it if we just put a smile on our face.
And there are lots of smiles.
Oh, there's
lots
so of smiles. Many smiles.
Dylan, do you know how many people are on the cast offhand?
It's about 21, mm-hmm. 21, 22, I think.
Yeah. Because it's interesting on stage at Theatre on the Bay, which is a small-ish theatre.
Yes.
You're not actually aware the stage is small. And then you said at Monte Cassino you were working on a much bigger stage. So
yeah.
It must be a bit of an adaptation.
So, yeah.
Cape Both Town. Ways, to the bigger one and to the smaller one. Yeah.
So in Joburg, the stage was slightly bigger. It had a little bit more of room and a lot more backstage room. So coming to Cape Town, which is a little smaller, the price is in line with the stage, but the backstage area is like a little walkway that you have to figure out and walk through. But it's quite an interesting thing to see the difference between the two places, and as well with the audience between Cape Town and Joburg. But yeah, working in Cape Town is lovely.
Cape Town is your home, isn't it?
Yeah, Cape Town is my
home.
I'm born and raised in Cape Town. Yeah. Been here my whole life. So yeah, being in Cape Town and being able to perform in front of audiences that some of my family that I know, some of my friends that I know, it's been truly an amazing experience.
We're recording this interview after the opening night here in Cape Town, and it was a fantastic audience, and I'm sure the audience has a lot to do with the success of the show as well.
Yeah, definitely. When we are performing, it's crazy to see how the different audiences every night react to a different show.
Yeah.
I mean, some nights we have a very quiet audience, and then the cast feels that energy, and we know they're enjoying it, but they're so quiet, so we have to be like, what must we do? Like, are we doing a good job? Like, we constantly second guess ourselves, which is quite a normal thing to do, especially when the audience is quiet. But we must just remember that they're always enjoying it. Some audiences just react differently. But obviously when the audience is upbeat and having a good time and telling us they're having a good time by like screaming and stuff, it obviously gives us a more upbeat tempo and gives us a bit of a push and an adrenaline boost, if I may say so, to get through a wonderful show.
I'm sure it gives an adrenaline boost. I mean, I was very aware sitting in the audience of the noise that the audience made. They were shrieking and screaming.
Last night was incredible. I think it was one of the loudest audiences we've had so far. I mean, when the music started and we just heard screaming, we obviously all went like, oh, this is a new feeling for us. We are about to have a fantastic show, but we must have to remember what we said to ourselves is we always have to breathe, keep calm, because it has to be the same show every single night.
Exactly.
Every audience pays, so we can't give a different show if an audience is giving more than another audience. So generally we are quite consistent when it comes to performance and performance quality.
And you chaps must be very fit, you and the girls. So it must require physical fitness because of what you have to do, and you yourself, Dylan.
Oh, definitely. I must say fitness level in the show from coming in Joburg, especially where there's little air.
Yes, the high altitude.
Higher altitude. We could feel it, the fitness that we needed there, because we were out of breath in that first week. We had to adapt to the quality. I remember coming off stage after Gogo Joseph and probably dying. Like I honestly thought I was dying because I just couldn't breathe. But it was crazy to see how you adapted to that environment, because by the end, we were going off Gogo Joseph and be like, oh, we could do that again.
Yes.
Definitely. Like we could breathe. However, I must say, I don't think, we say we could do it, but if we were to do it, I think it would be a terrible, terrible idea with that high energy number. But yeah.
The energy is tied up with tightness and slickness, which I think is another very major aspect of the show. And that's why, as you said, Dylan, you can't change anything. It's got to be exactly the same.
Yes.
For it, like a well-oiled machine, the whole cast has to work together.
Yeah, and I must say it's incredible how we have been a well-oiled machine. Even though sometimes we have people that go off who are sick, the dance captains and swings that we have on the show are absolutely incredible. I mean, Anna Olifi, who is our dance captain, and Jaden Dixon and Michiel Beste, who are our male swings, and Anna being our dance captain and female swing of their only swings, they have really stepped in every possibly majority weeks. Uh-huh. I mean, Anna just did her 50th swing show where she had stepped in as one of the
Because
they go off sick, unfortunately. Oh, it just happens, but it's normal. So what they have done, I think they hold the show together. Honestly, they allow us to keep going even though our original like OG cast is off. So for them to be on the stage with us is an incredible experience, and that is what keeps our machine going, the swings and the directors. And
I want to talk about swings and dance captains in a moment. But first of all, I'm now intrigued on your music choice. What is your first choice for us?
So my first piece is a classical piece. It's The Swan from The Carnival of Animals. So when I was a kid, I always wanted to play the cello. But I never did. it was just a dream. And this song was the reason why I wanted to play the cello.
that rather beautiful piece of music. It's called The Swan from the Carnival of the Animals by Saint-Saëns, just scored there for piano and cello, and a lovely cello solo. The first choice of my guest on People of Note this week, Dylan Janssen van Rensburg, who plays the lead in Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat at Peter Twins Theatre on the Bay. And we were talking about fitness and watching you and the cast last night. I mean, you've got your big song right at the end when presumably you're completely exhausted. So you have to pace yourself, I'm sure. But I suppose youth has something to do with it as well.
I definitely think so. Youth definitely has. But one thing that me personally that I do before every show, I make sure that I do a proper warm-up vocally and physically, and then we do a cast warm-up, which is usually taken by our dance captain Anna Olifield or assistant dance captain Jaden Dixon, and they make sure that the cast is warm. It's also usually a focus point where we all can come together and zone in as one group, and then we also do a vocal warm-up with Amy, our MD, Amy Campbell. But yeah, the fitness is a main thing. So then after that, I go do a core exercise to make sure that my core is engaged, because I think that helps the most with singing. If your core is engaged, then your voice is ready. It's supported. You can use it for longevity in singing. That's what I believe.
Well, you know what? Let me tell you this, Dylan. I was watching last night. You're on stage quite a lot without a shirt on.
Yeah.
And you can see how you breathe. And you're breathing from your diaphragm.
Yes.
You're breathing as you should breathe, from the core.
Yeah, they call it the singer's breath. It was one thing that I have learned since I was a kid, because I never used to. I used to breathe from my shoulders. And I always, in grade 3A, my teacher always used to say, stop breathing from your shoulders. That's bad. when I was in singing class. And I never realized how important it was until I was older, singing from your, I call it my belly, because you get such a deeper breath and then you can sustain a note
and hold it for much longer
with a lot more support. So it's really, that tip has really helped me quite a lot.
I mentioned just now that I just wanted you to explain what a swing captain is and what a dance captain is. There's the swing and the dance captain.
So I'll start with a dance captain. So we have a dance captain and assistant dance captain. So Anna Olifield is our dance captain, and she basically, if someone goes off or there is an issue, you go to her when it comes to choreography, because she will do a placement call before every single, well, if there's someone off, she will do it before the show, and she will make sure that all the positions are right and everybody's in the right place, know what they're doing choreographically. Usually in rehearsals, if there's a question, you could go to her and she would usually be able to help you. And then assistant dance captain, so Anna, she goes with the girls and Jaden mainly takes care of the boys. So if they want to do the hoedown, Jaden will be there and he's like, okay, this is where you guys will go, this is your position in the choreography. And then the swings. So swings are for when the people go off. They have to know the track and the role of every single. So we have two swings, two brothers. We have Jaden and Michi. So they have to know the track of all the brothers, so that if the one brother goes off, they can just step in on the spot and go and perform that role. And Anna is covering every girl on stage. So if a girl goes off, she will go on. So that's basically what a swing is. I believe that is the most difficult track ever, because you have to know, like for Anna, it's five individual girls, and for the two other male swings, they have to know 11 brothers, and they, each brother has their own nuance, each brother, so they have to figure out acting beats as well as singing and dancing at the same time. So it's incredible work that they
I'm
do.
I'm sure
honestly.
It is. And there we are sitting in the audience amazed at all of this, and the stage, a lot happens at great speed. So where you are at any given second on the stage, you've got to be careful, for example, to put it rather crudely, not to bump into anyone and knock anyone over.
And sometimes it happens, but then you just say, I'm sorry for bumping into you. And afterwards, it's all good, because it's inevitable for it to happen. Yeah. I mean, especially if someone has gone off and it's their first time playing this role on stage, sometimes you're just going to need a little bit of guidance wherever you're going. And like we, as a cast, when someone goes off and the swing goes on, we say, we've got you, no matter where you are. If you need help, just be like, hey, put me in the right place, or do that.
Okay.
And it's honestly one of the most incredible things about this cast, is that we can really just put in anybody, any of the swings, and it'll be a fantastic show.
I like what you said earlier, Dylan, where you said if you are aware that one of your colleagues is having an off night, you are able to A, pick it up, and B, help them to sort of do a good performance.
Oh, completely. I mean, for instance, in Joburg, sometimes when it came to the end of the run, I mean, it's was 2.5 months. So mm-hmm. that's a lot of shows. And then by the end of a week, you're usually just exhausted and you're saying like, oh, I don't know if I can get through this. But something about this cast and the people in this cast, it's incredible to see how they go, no, listen, you can do it. Like, we compliment each other. We hype each other up so much in order that we forget how tired we actually are. Yeah. So that when we're on stage, we're actually giving 120%, not even 100%, just because we're like, no, let's do it. We can have fun and have a good time because it's 2 hours of our life. And then after that, we can relax.
Yes, indeed. Yeah. What do you do after the show? It must take you a while to get down, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, come down to earth again.
The adrenaline in the show is insane because, like I said, it's full go, go, go energy the whole time. Mm-hmm. It's dancing, singing, high acting.
They call it the triple threat.
The triple threat, definitely. So after the show, your blood is still boiling. Like, your heart is beating out of your chest. I always feel like that. You're sweating galore. So then to come off stage and be like, oh, I need to sleep now. Yes. It's a whole different thing. It's definitely not going to happen.
Yeah.
So then sometimes you just lie in bed and your brain's awake and your body's awake, even though you're like, I need to sleep. Mm-hmm. But luckily, as time goes on, you end up being exhausted. So when you get into bed, you like take a couple of deep breaths to try slow your heart rate and slow everything. And then you end up passing out and waking up being like, oh, I don't even remember falling asleep.
Well, that's a good thing, isn't it?
Yeah, no, I must say.
But also, Dylan, your personal performance as Joseph, which is the center of attraction, really, has a considerable amount of physical energy, let alone what you've got to sing.
Yeah. So one thing about Joseph, actually, the character, is he's not really a dancing role. And one thing that I have loved in this production is that Joseph can dance.
Yes.
He does a couple choreography pieces as well, which is super cool, I must say. And I feel really great that I got to be able to put a little bit of choreography into the character of Joseph. I mean, with Dwayne and Jared's choreography, it's tough. It's nonstop. It's not easy. It's not mm-hmm. easy choreography. So mm-hmm. to be able to perform that every night is an incredible opportunity, nevertheless. Yeah.
I saw, apparently, the night I was there,
yes.
was your 170th performance in that role.
Yeah.
That, and you've never been sick and you've never taken off.
No. There was one night I was sick in Joburg. It just came randomly, but I didn't, yeah, it was a hectic night, I must say.
But you went on.
Yeah, I did go on. Yes, gosh. I did. I didn't stop. And the show goes on.
Yeah, and as you said earlier, people say to you, don't you get bored?
Yes.
But 170 performances of doing what you do must also keep you very fit. And you said something quite interesting, Dylan. You said about breathing in Johannesburg, how you battled. But then when you come back to Cape Town, you're even better. Just tell me that story.
Yeah. So one thing that I heard is that because you're working at a higher altitude in Joburg, you are immediately breathing more, which apparently it helps with your fitness because after a show, the first thing you have to do is try to slow your heart rate, and slowing your heart rate quicker makes you more fit in general.
Oh.
So when you come back to Cape Town, where there's a lower altitude, more humidity in the air, you're breathing a little deeper. You can have more oxygen. So you're breathing and your heart rate is immediately slowing down. So that creates more fitness. So I've heard that if you come from Joburg and you come to Cape Town and you've been doing fitness in Joburg and working your body, working your muscles, and you're in Cape Town, you're apparently a whole lot more fit, which I did not know, but well, I can sense it.
And we can see it. We can see it. Dylan, what's your next piece of music?
My next piece is a musical number. Choosing a musical number is like picking a needle in a haystack. So many. But my favorite musical number is going to be actually Dancing Through Life from the new musical Wicked. Well, it's not new musical, but the movie musical of Wicked by Jonathan Bailey.
I see that once again, the responsibility to corrupt my fellow students falls to me.
The trouble with schools is they always try to teach the wrong lesson. Believe me, I've been kicked out of enough of them to know. They want you to become less callow, less shallow. But I say, why invite stress in? stop studying strife and learn to live the unexamined life. Dancing through life, skimming the surface, gliding where turf is smooth. Life's more painless for the brainless. Why think too hard when it's so soothing? Dancing through life, no need to tough it when you can slough it off as I do. Nothing matters, but knowing nothing matters. It's just life, so keep dancing. Through life, swaying, sweeping, and always keeping cool. Life is fraudless when you're thoughtless. Those who don't try never look foolish. Dancing through life, mindless and careless. Make sure you're wearless. Trouble is rife. Woes are fleeting, blows are glancing when you're dancing.
I hope you'll save a dance for me tonight. I'll be right there, waiting, all night.
That's so kind. But you know what would be even kinder? See that tragically beautiful girl, the one in the chair. It seems so unfair. We should go on a spree and not she. Gee, I know someone would be my hero if that someone were to go invite her.
Well, maybe I could invite her.
Oh, Vic, really? You would do that for me?
I would do anything.
That was called Dancing Through Life from Wicked, which is another choice of my guest on People of Note this week here on Fine Music Radio, brought to you by Peter Turing Productions. Mm-hmm. And his name is Dylan Jans van Rensburg, who is playing the role, the lead role, Joseph, in Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat. And what an amazing production it is. But you know what? I want to find out more about you now, Dylan, because this is your second professional role, but your first sort of lead role, isn't it?
Yes.
Because you were in My Fair Lady, and I'm right in saying that.
Yes, so My Fair Lady was my first ever professional production outside of college. It was one that I stepped into immediately, which was quite an exciting journey. I mean, it was my first ever professional audition as well. So going into there, still being in third year, I remember doing my audition in the beginning of my third year, actually, which was quite nerve-wracking.
I mean, it must have been.
You've been in this college surrounded by so many people and familiar faces. You're stepping into actually the Artscape building, and you're seeing so many industry professionals, and you realize you're just a little fish in a big pond. So it was incredible to see different faces. And I must say, for My Fair Lady being my first production, I was truly grateful. I was truly blessed. Like, it was.
But what a production that was.
Oh, it was so incredible. And we got the opportunity to go to Joburg and Durban, which was fantastic. Yeah, and yeah. I met some very, very good friends in My Fair Lady, some outside of like my known
your circle.
Yeah, my circle.
Yeah.
My circle, basically. So I was very, very grateful to be in that. And then obviously Joseph came along and they were like, oh, Joseph is coming. You should audition. And I was like, okay, I'll definitely try. And I went in and I sang a song that represented the character of Joseph. But then I also sang a song. I was like, oh, maybe I'll sing for a Pharaoh. So then I sang a song that maybe Pharaoh would sing. And it was quite an exciting experience. I mean, those auditions, it was a lot younger than My Fair Lady. And there were a lot more familiar faces that I saw. So it was an incredible audition experience. And I must say, we had quite a lot of fun. I remember laughing a lot in that audition room, even with the dancing. I mean, Jared's choreography in that audition, I think that was one of the toughest auditions I ever did. He was like, make sure... I remember the one thing that he said in the Go Go Joe piece was, he was like, I want to see cheerleaders, like that high energy. So we did the dance piece more than once, obviously. So then you're there giving face. And then by the end, your body's so sore, your cheeks are like destroyed from smiling so much that you just have to push on. But it was one of the best experiences.
And
one
you
of
got the it. Auditions. You got Joseph.
Yeah, I got it after, because we had a callback and... I got called back for Joseph, Pharaoh, and some of the brothers. So I was like, oh, you never know what it's going to be. It could go any direction, honestly. You never know with casting directors. So then when I had to sing the Joseph material and the Pharaoh material, I was like, okay, this is very real. I played Joseph before in my life and when I was 16 with my high school. But then to do this in a professional sense, I was like, this is no longer Somerset West theatre production. This is going to be on
Cape Town.
This is the real thing. People, like important people, are here, and so many professionals, anybody could play this role, because there's so many talented people in South Africa at the moment that could play this role. So the fact that I got this role, I'm very truly blessed, and it's a beautiful, beautiful full circle moment for me. And I couldn't speak of gratitude enough.
So Dylan, did it all start? Your love of singing, dancing, acting? Because you're a young... Do you mind if I ask you how old you are?
I'm 22.
Okay. So you're a very young man.
Yeah, very young.
Straight out of college.
Yeah.
So what was the first inkling in your life that you wanted to do this?
So I've been singing since I can remember. I mean, I think I was in grade... 1 when I joined the choir, and then in grade 4 I joined the Tigerwood Children's Choir, and I did that till grade 9. So I've been a choir boy, I've been a singer my whole life, and I classically trained with my high school teacher. And surprisingly, I didn't actually want to go into musicals. I wanted to study marine biology. Quite a difference. And then my drama teacher came to me and he was like, why aren't you taking drama? You should be taking drama. And Daryl Spakers, who he was my director at the Playhouse Theatre in Somerset West and my drama teacher and mentor at the time, he was like, just come and try it. And then my friend Diana Millard was like, please come and audition for this musical. I think you'll be really great in it. And it was Annie Get Your Gun. And I was like, I don't even know what this is. Like, I've watched High School Musical. I think that's the most musical I actually know. But even as a kid, when I was watching High School Musical, I was like, oh, this seems fun. Like, I would love to do a movie like this maybe one day. But then I auditioned for this musical of Annie Get Your Gun. And I got in as ensemble. And I had never danced an inkling in my life. I had done a couple of like acting classes, and of course I've been singing. So when I went into the room and we had to do a dance call, luckily I have a sense of rhythm. I had a sense of rhythm back then, so I knew how to pick up a step, I knew how to do the things. But it was an intense call, and I think I made quite a fool of myself, if I can say so. I thought I'd be a lot better than I was, but then I saw all the professional dancers in that room and I was like, I have a lot to learn. I have a lot to learn. So after that, and after getting into Annie Get Your Gun, I fell in love. I went to the rehearsals and I did the shows and I was like, okay, let me audition for the next one. Why not? Like, where's the harm in that? And I auditioned for a supporting role, a lead. because I was like, let's just try it. Let's see what it's about. And I got it, and I played Buttons in Cinderella the Pantomime. And it was such an exciting experience to be able to portray lines and like seeing audience hear you speak for the first time and sing solo for the first time on a stage. I was like, wow, I'm so used to Eisteddfod singing in front of like choral people, and they go like, oh, that was good, but you could work on this. Yeah, the audience the is just stuff. Enjoying it for their for fun and entertainment.
Yeah.
So I felt like I could just be free on stage. And then obviously the next one was Joseph when I was 16.
But wait, you're jumping ahead. Oh, the Joseph you did when you were 16.
Yes, when I was 16.
Oh, right.
And that was my like my first lead in a non-professional sense.
Yeah.
It was at the local Playhouse Theatre in Sumter West, and it was exactly everything I wanted and more. And I remember going and being like, okay, this is what I want to do. And one of my friends from Cape Town, who I was in Tiger Wood Children's Choir with, she was like, I'm doing a workshop in Cape Town. It's called MTW, which is Musical Theatre Workshop. Come and see what it's about. Come and join it. And I went, and that was the first time I met Anton and Dwayne. And they were like, come and do the accelerator course. And after that, I found out about Lambda, and that is why I went there.
And as they say, the rest is history.
And the rest is history, yeah.
It's quite intense, isn't it? Lambda is, apart from being hugely successful, with Spring Awakening, for example, I think you were in that as well, weren't
you? Yes, I was.
I mean, that blew everyone's mind away as well. And now this Joseph. But before we go on, another piece of music, please, Mr. Janse van Rensburg.
My next piece is another classical piece. It's an opera piece. It's one of my favorites because it's one of my mom's and my favorite pieces. It's called Follow Me by Andrea Bocelli and Matteo Bocelli.
I thought sooner or later the lights up above will come down in circles and God made a love. But I don't know what's right for me, cannot see straight. I've been here too long and I don't wanna wait for it. Fly like a cannonball straight to my soul. Tear me to pieces and make me feel whole. I'm willing to fight for it and carry this weight. But with every step I keep questioning what is true. Fall on me with open arms. Fall on me from where you are. Fall on me with all your light. With all your light. With all. Una luce ti illuminerà, seguila sempre, guidarti saprà. Tu non arrenderti, attento a non perderti, e il tuo passato avrà senso per te. Vorrei che credessi in te stesso, ma sì, in ogni passo che muoverai qui è un viaggio infinito. Sorriderò se nel tempo che fugge mi porti con te. Fall on me, ascoltami. Fall on me, abbracciami. Finché vorrai, finché vorrai, finché vorrai, finché vorrai. I close my eyes and I'm seeing. Outside, it's like I'm breathing you in the air.
Those were, I should say, Andrea Bocelli and Matteo Bocelli with that piece called Fall on Me. And it was another choice of my guest, Joseph, from Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat. I'm talking to the lead actor, Dylan Jansen van Rensburg. And Dylan, we were talking about Lambda there with Dwayne Alexander and Anton Leighton. And I gather, well, judging from the show, they're very strict. They're very professional.
Oh, yeah.
They've had a huge success rate. And then I discovered to my amazement that one of them is always in the box at every performance, listening and watching to every single move that everybody does, and then give you notes afterwards or criticize you or congratulate you or whatever. Yeah.
So that's, it's very true, they do. It's something we call usually a resident director. So for them, they have conjoined in that sense. And so when they come and watch the show, they take notes, whether it be on singing, choreography, acting beats, or just the general vibe, if I could say so. And they come and they give us notes afterwards. But that's the best thing.
Yes, a note is... Especially for young actors.
For such a long period of time that we're doing a show, it's good to get notes because then it doesn't get out of hand. It keeps things in check. It keeps things... it also makes you think a lot. So when usually I get a note and I take it and I'm like, oh, okay, I can maybe take this further and bring this back. And it allows me to keep it natural. And I don't have to overthink or anything. Like usually my one note was try uplift the beginning part more that I got. And now every time I'm on stage, I'm like, it keeps it fresh. It keeps it really fresh because now I'm no longer just going into like autopilot mode and I'm constantly thinking about like, what note did I get yesterday? How can I make this better? How can I work on this to portray a truthful character to the audience? Which I think is the most important thing, is that the audience must see something true and real in front of them.
Here's a compliment for you, Dylan. You're one of the truest Josephs I've ever seen. How about that?
Well, thank you.
You. I think the audience relates to you in a way that they absolutely accepted your Joseph, this brother of these other 11 gentlemen, and that you have had a completely different experience of them. Even if you don't know the biblical story, I think it comes out very strongly on stage.
Well, thank you. That means a lot to me.
There you are, you see. I spoke to Amy, the musical director, a while ago, just before it opened the first time, and she told me something quite interesting, because there's no band, there are no instruments, it's all recorded, and you people have a click track, or do you each have it, or only some dancers?
So, actually, only Amy has it in her ear. We just have the backing track blasting through the monitors.
That we hear in the audience.
No, so the monitors are on stage. So that is because if the speakers in the audience, they are front speakers, which is only the audience. So the audience can hear the monitors slightly, but not as much as we hear it.
Yeah.
Because if we were only to hear the front speakers, I think we'd be a lot more out of time than one would
think. Timing is clearly very important.
Timing is so important.
Yeah.
So Amy has the click track in her ear, so she wears the speaker, and that's why she constantly conducts us from the box. And that is also, if we can't hear the monitor, we look at her to know if we're out of time or not, which has proven a lot more helpful than one would think. I mean, sometimes I need to watch it because I can't hear anything some nights, because even sometimes the audience, like the opening night last night, the audience was screaming and I didn't hear that the track came in, and I had to look at Amy because I was like, have you started the music? Because I can't tell. I literally can't tell.
Well, obviously it wasn't a problem because you would have heard.
Clearly. But luckily, you can always rely on Amy, whether you are an ensemble member, because she is there clawing her hands and having a good time as well, which is lovely to see.
Then going back, you went to school normally.
Mm.
It was during your school that you told me you could sing all along.
Yes.
And you started getting interested in this whole thing.
Yes.
And then you went to Lambda.
Yes.
And you have to audition to get into Lambda, don't you?
Yes, you
just
do.
So that they know that who they're bringing in knows what they're doing.
Yeah.
That there's certainly some possibility there, some talent lurking.
Yes, I remember I had the most awful Lambda audition, actually.
No, surely not.
No, I did. I was doing the MTWA course, and that was every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday. And my audition was on a Saturday, and I totally forgot it was that day. So I was in tears that morning. I was like, I can't audition now. I've ruined my life. I've screwed it over. And Anton and Dana are like, breathe. It's fine. If you want to come back, you're more than welcome to. You can do it some other time. And I was like, no, I can't. I'm going to do it today. I have to do it today. And so then I sang two songs, and I did two pieces, but I was hardly prepared for it.
Shame.
But it was a good experience. It taught me a lot. I was like, right now I need to write stuff down into my diary so I never forget. Yes.
It's a three-year course, isn't it?
Yes, it's a three-year course.
Now, where are you in that course? Are you finished?
I finished. I graduated last year. So I finished my 3 years at Lambda, which truly was an incredible experience. Lambda is one of the top musical theater academies in Cape Town at the moment, it's so valid, and there's a reason why. They don't only teach you how to sing, dance, and act. They teach you how to be professional, maintain yourself, maintain your vocal health and your body and physical health. They teach you how to actually be an adult in this big bad world.
That's interesting.
It's really inspiring to see how you go in there, because I went in there straight after high school, how I went in there as a little 18 after matric boy, and now I've come up and I can take on the world. I've come out and I can take on the world, and it's all thanks to them.
And look, you're taking on the world in this show that you're doing now with Joseph.
Yeah.
We're going to have another music break now.
Beautiful.
What are you going to share with us this time?
My next song is a pop song, and it's called Oscar Winning Tears by Ray and the Heritage Orchestra. It's a live version, and this piece, it's just truly inspiring to hear how someone who's come from nothing can perform with this massive crowd and massive orchestra and sing very well live.
I'm gonna tell you about one of the many men. Name is irrelevant, height is irrelevant. He was a 1 out of 10. I wish that I knew it then. I'm still recovering. Oh, truly invulnerable. I love a sentiment. Quickly I open up. I learned my lesson then. Thought we'd save again. Thought he was innocent. I was so wrong. I can't deny. I was stuck in a phase, a terrible phase. You was convincing though, very believable. The role that you play. So tragedy, it didn't have to be. Look how you talk to me, cursing and blasphemy. Cinematography, get this on camera, please. Oh, no, I'm gonna believe this. Yeah, no, I can't deny. I thought you were the man, but you were the plan. Oh, tissues, no string section, no tiny violin. For the last time, I'm your audience. I'll take this front row seat. Baby, baby, you can go.
That was called Oscar-winning Tears, a live version, as you heard there. And it was another choice of my guest. We're talking to Dylan Janssen van Rensburg about this incredible production of Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat, which has returned, due to public demand, to the Theatre on the Bay. And I can assure you is an evening worth experiencing. And I use the word experience, Dylan, because it is like that. It's enjoyable, but it's an experience. I certainly felt I was experiencing the energy that you people do on stage. So now, after this incredible run, and you've been to Johannesburg, here you are back in Cape Town, dare I ask, have you got anything up your sleeve? What are you going to do next, now that you've graduated?
I have an exciting project coming. It hasn't been announced yet, or the cast hasn't been announced yet, so I can't say too much about it, but it is going to be a perfect time. It's going to be lovely, and when the news does come out, people better book their tickets.
You can tell that you're very excited about that, whatever it happens to be.
It's a dream come true, honestly. It's okay. One of the dream roles that I've had, so I'm very excited to be a part of it.
Oh, that's very good for you, thanks. And then after that, or have you not looked that far ahead yet?
I want to try all fields. I want to be a jack of all trades, want to strive to be a jack of all trades. So maybe I want to go into film, try something there, do a couple series or something, see what that side of the entertainment industry is about. I also kind of, on the other hand, want to spread my wings and go overseas and see what that has to offer maybe, which is also an exciting thing. I mean, I love Cape Town, I love South Africa, but the world's a big place, and I'm still young, so I want to go explore and experience life while I still can.
If you're lucky, there'll be some talent scout here in the theatre when you are doing Joseph.
Hopefully.
And say, why don't you come over and chat to us?
I will do that in a heartbeat.
Okay. But it's been a run that you've enjoyed, clearly. As I said, I saw you in your 170th performance. Now, we're going to end this little chat that we've been having, Dylan, with what's called the Joseph Mega Mix.
Yeah.
And you maybe can explain that, because it sort of comes on at the end almost like an encore. Just explain what it is, actually.
So the Mega Mix, we call it our worst nightmare, because basically it is the whole show in roughly 15 minutes, and that is full dancing, full singing, full acting, and we have just basically finished the show and now have to do it again in a short span of time. I mean, in our Mega Mix, we have incorporated every single piece of Kari from every piece into the Mega Mix. So people are doing it twice. We're doing the Hoedown, we're doing Go Go Joseph, we're doing Song of the King. I mean, my co-star Lelo and Chris, who are incredible performers, when we're backstage, because we're getting dressed in the first half of the Mega Mix, so luckily we don't have the extensive run that the ensemble are doing, which they are doing incredible work. If I had to do the whole Mega Mix, I'd probably be with my asthma pump backstage trying to breathe. But yeah, my co-stars Lelo and Chris, we have the best time backstage, either screaming or having a duel, dancing like with them, even though we aren't. But then when we're on stage and we're a full cast, it's magic.
When you say Chris, you talk about Chris Jephthah.
Chris Jephthah,
who
yes.
sings the role of Herod and Jacob, actually.
Yeah, so he's the Pharaoh and Jacob and Potiphar, which is unusual. That man is a chameleon. Like, the fact that he can morph into each of those characters, which are all so different. It's an incredible, and I've loved being able to work with him. He's been such an inspiration to me, as well as Lelo. I mean, don't even get me started on her vocals. I could sit there and listen to her sing to me forever. In the beginning of the show, when she comes in and sings her first line, I think my body melts into the floor every single night. It is incredible. She has,
but she is amazing. She's an amazing character.
No, she's our mother. She's literally our mother. She's
I think she's the audience's mother as well, because she takes us by the hand and leads us into, through, and out of this extraordinary show.
And she does it so well. She does. She does it incredibly well.
This business of the Pharaoh, Pharaoh. Isn't it amazing that Andrew Lloyd Webber and Tim Rice decided to make it a sort of Elvis pastiche, as though it's Elvis Presley style?
I think it's so. It's so unusual, but also so, like, understandable as to why they did it. I mean, coming in and then people going like, why is there an Elvis-inspired number in Joseph? It just makes total sense. Somehow it makes complete sense.
Yeah.
I think it's because Elvis was also a massive hit at the time, during that time. So they're like, okay, let's see, what will the, how will the audiences respond to this during that time? And, like, how good will it be, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of cool to see that it's still relevant today. Like, the audience will still enjoy it no matter what.
And a bit of nostalgia.
Yeah, absolutely. Definitely a bit of nostalgia.
But it's got an interesting gestation period, this, because it started, I think, as a little 15-minute thing somewhere that Tim Rice and Lloyd Webber put together. And then it grew and grew and grew and grew as it became more and more successful.
Yeah, yeah, no, definitely. I mean, this is a production that was made for high school.
That's right.
Like high schoolers. So in order for us to do it and be able to do it as a professional company from ages 21 and 35, it's incredible. Like you said, it was meant to only be 15 minutes, a quick in and out show, and for it to have expanded, and this show's been done many, many times and people have seen it. So the fact that people still want to come and watch it and have a good time, it's incredible to see.
Well, it's reimagined and it's a massive success. I think people listening to us, Dylan, will understand that this is something rather special.
Yeah,
especially as I've been raving about it as well. But thank you, Dylan, for coming in. And I know you need your rest because you've got a show on tonight again.
Yeah.
And I thought we'd end, Dylan, with one of the big hits from the show, One More Angel in Heaven.
But Dylan, thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
It's great. Best of luck with your fantastically burgeoning career.
Thank you.
And looking forward to seeing you again in whatever it is you're going to be doing soon.
Thank you. I can't wait.
Stood for, like truth. place at our table. There's one more tear in my eye.
But Joseph, the things that you stood for,
like truth and light, never die.
Carve his name with pride and courage.
Let no tear be shed.
If he had not laid down his life, we all would now be dead.
People of Note on Fine Music Radio was proudly brought to you by Peter Turin Productions.